The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along. Good to have you with us here for the Weekend Punt Podcast, looking at the Premier League fixtures with William Hill this weekend. It's Dave Kellner here in the studio alongside Lee Phelps.
Hi.
And back by popular demand.
And literally so. I mean, you know, let's not hide behind this.
We might need a slightly new definition. By popular demand.
All those emails were sent and paid off, eh?
No, but in all seriousness, when you were on last time, Derek, flooded. That would probably be the word I would use. Flooded with text and tweets, mainly tweets, saying it's great to have you back.
Yeah.
I don't know how long that'll last. It won't be long men before they're all slagging taste. You off again.
Hills punters, men of taste, I've always said it.
Incidentally as well, Derek, Lee's often told me when he was at university he was flooded with offers to go out with attractive looking women as well.
Well, there's two things about that I don't believe. Obviously the women, and Lee went to university.
I did a law degree, I'll have you know.
Did you really? Yeah.
What's with the incredulous tone?
You don't need to know the law, you just need to know the judge. That's all you have to do.
True enough. But yeah, Derek's back.
He is back for good.
Let's take that said.
Back for good, precisely.
Well, we'll say for good. There's nothing as sure as that, is there? Let's not say for good.
Not in this world.
Back for bad.
We're not going to do naps as well. We've decided to.
Yes, we are.
Well, just because I had one out of one, 9-2.
No, it's because Dave hasn't had a winner since, I don't know when.
Well, since time began, I think, the last time I had
Dave also does the golf podcast, Derek. He had a 125-1 winner this year, which is brilliant, obviously. And it's a good job, actually, because he hasn't had another winner for 5 years, I don't think.
You don't need to, do you? No. You're picking 125-1. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's perfect, isn't it?
Let's get stuck into this week then, chaps. And we start off with Arsenal versus Manchester United, which is the televised game on Saturday evening, 5:30 p.m. kickoff. Arsenal 6-5, the draw 2-1. Manchester United in the betting at 13-5. Headline offers here, Danny Welbeck to score and Arsenal to win is in the market at 7-2. Robin van Persie to score and Man United to win in the betting at 5-1. Lee, we've talked numerous times on the podcast about Arsenal's weak underbelly and them being fragile in key situations, and that's borne out by the statistics this season as well. Dropped more points from winning positions than any other team in the Premier League this season, and you look at their four wins this season as well. They've all come against teams in the bottom seven. Flat track bully Arsenal, and the I suppose Manchester United, are they a big team anymore? 13-5 for them to win at the Emirates.
Yeah, I can't back either of them, to be fair, on the prices, because Man United have just got far too many injury problems. We're told, you know, there could be as many as 12, and even if they patch some up to play, then they're not going to be fully fit. I mean, you're looking at a back four of Valencia, Smalling, McNair and Shaw. I mean, geez, that's as bad as you've seen at Man United for a long, long time. And I think, you know, when you look at the quality that Arsenal have got up front, then, you know, especially Alexis Sanchez, you'd expect him to be able to make hay with that front line. I was looking to put him up as an anytime scorer, but 5-4 is very short, to be honest with you. He scored 6 successive games now, including 2 for Chile on international duty. He's got 9 goals in the last 8 games, 8 in 10 Premier League matches. So he's a man in form. He's a man who likes the big occasion. He scored against City, of course, and 5-4 is very short, so I'll probably have to leave him alone, given the price. But there's nothing about Arsenal that makes me want to back them to win. You mentioned that stat about giving points away effectively, and then the Anderlecht, you know, situation where they chucked away 3 Champions League points as well. They don't fill me full of any confidence whatsoever. It's a tricky one to call from a betting point of view. I think I'd just go for the draw. Or if you want to be a little bit more adventurous, building in the stat that you said, you'd be looking for, you know, Man United to come from behind and draw. That might be the way to do it. Come from behind and draw. Man United is 8-1.
Okay. Looking at a Man United comeback then, Arsenal maybe to go ahead in the match. Derek, a lot of talk midweek, obviously, about Wayne Rooney. And while Manchester United's stock continues to fall both on and off the field, Wayne Rooney's stock appears to be on the rise again. He's going to move past Gary Lineker and Bobby Charlton in due course as England's leading ever goal scorer. Where do you stand with Rooney?
I think he's fantastic. Rooney's one of those players that when he's good, he's very, very good. But when he's bad, he's horrid. I've seen him have some stinkers. I can't believe a player of his talent can have some of the stinkers I've seen him have. But on his day, he's the best in the country, best English player, obviously, by a country mile. I think he's a sensational player, and I can't believe all the talk in the press this week about, is he a true England great? I read Stan Collymore saying he can't live up to the likes of Jimmy Greaves and Gary Lineker. Seriously, Gary Lineker? No, I mean, Lineker had a great goals record, but you can't compare him to Rooney as an all-round footballer. Sensational player, Rooney. He's carried United for a few years too. And I think he deserves all the plaudits he gets. I think he's a sensational player. And it's not easy for me to say that, a player who's played for Everton and Man United.
He's going to have to carry them this week as well, isn't he, I think?
Well, no, I mean, you look at the both defences, which are ropey, and you look at the attacking talent on display, and you just can't see it being finishing 0-0. But we said exactly the same last season, and guess what score it finished? 9-9.
Arsenal didn't score a goal against them under the Moyes reign, did they? They didn't even score a goal against the Moyes team.
No. I mean, I think Man United's record against the big teams last season was really poor. Well, it was against most teams, actually. But of the big teams, the one team they did beat was Arsenal. Arsenal are almost Man United's bitches these days. Lee is right. The one sentence, a few I agree with Lee, but the one that stuck out most of all was that you can't find any reason to back Arsenal here at 6-5. I mean, look at their recent performances, the one against Swansea. Anderlecht, they don't look a team to me. They just do not look a team. Now, I know that United have had terrible results and, they haven't won away from home this season. But remember,
all the end of last year, I think it's 9 without a win away from home, spanning the summer.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. It's a shocking record. But, they finished against Man City with 10 men a couple of weeks ago, and they looked a better side in the last half hour. Okay, I know they had to go for it, and City were a bit nervous, but still, they have got enough there to go to Arsenal and win. And don't forget, okay, they've got a lot of injury worries, but they are boosted by the return to fitness of Oliver Giroud. This is Man United I'm talking about. It's a big day for Danny Dyer, isn't it? Man United sold him to Arsenal. He's going to try and prove them wrong. But I just can't have him. I can't have Arsenal at all. I think United at 11-4. You don't often see them United at those kind of prices to beat a team who they always beat.
Yeah. But then you look at the team. I mean, I'm just staring at this Man United team. Look at that back four.
Well, yeah, but look at Arsenal's back four.
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe it's just overs on the goals there. Maybe that's the way to play this. I mean, it's 4-6 over 2.5. Yeah, so they've got that one as well, haven't they?
Yeah, well, exactly. They don't make any. But the thing is, whenever I see that 4-6 over 2.5, I just go the opposite way. Even though there's no logic in it, I just know 4-6 is too short.
Yeah. It's tricky. I mean, the one bet that I've liked this season, it's one that's been new this season, is both teams to score in either half, so you can have both teams to score in the first half, and that might be worth a little look, because Arsenal have scored early goals at home already this season, mainly in the Champions League when they've needed to go out there and win, and I think they'll approach the game in the same sort of way. I don't think they'll be sitting back against Man U, so I think I like the draw, and I think I'll go for both teams to score in the first half, which is 100-30.
Arsenal 6-5, the draw 2-1, Man United 13-5. That's the only live game on Saturday, 5:30 p.m. kickoff. Let's have a look at Sunday's live and televised matches, starting with Crystal Palace versus Liverpool, which is a 1:30 p.m. kickoff. Crystal Palace 7-2, the draw 2-1, Liverpool in the betting at 19-20, two teams here in different form at the moment. Crystal Palace without a win in 5. Liverpool have only won 2 of their last 8 in the Premier League. And Daniel Sturridge has sustained a new thigh injury, which in all likelihood will sideline him until the new year.
Which year?
and when did they buy him a new thigh?
Oh, dear me. I mean, Liverpool are just... Without those two, without Sturridge, and of course without Luis Suarez. I mean, I can't believe how much they've missed Luis Suarez. I mean, he was only one team, for goodness sake. I mean, I think I can't see how you can possibly back Liverpool at odds on to win here. I really don't. And in a funny way, I know this sounds stupid, given that when they played Real Madrid in the Champions League recently, everyone said that they played a week inside. They concentrated on the league game against Chelsea. Now, I think they're going to do the opposite here, I think because they've got the Champions League game coming up next week, which they've got to win. They've got to win their last two games. Isn't there an argument to say, well, It's the Champions League now. That's obviously the brightest hope of qualifying for the Champions League, almost. Mm. No, it's probably that. But I've just got a feeling they'll have more than one eye on what comes next week. I think Palace here, you know, at a big price at 7-2. I'm going to go for them. I know that they're not in great form, but now they're at Liverpool, and this is the team at home, by the way. You know, and remember what happened last season, of course. Palace came back.
I wasn't going to bring that up for you, Derek.
Yeah, that was a black night.
Christian Bull. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't actually.
Christian Bull, I've read this week on Twitter, which I thought was a great name for it.
It is actually. It is excellent stuff. But anyway, Palace for me, I think they're way overpriced to beat a Liverpool team who I can't see them winning the game at the moment. That's how bad they've become.
Crystal Palace 7-2 for Derek. There's a distinct difference in the way teams are attacking Liverpool this season, Lee. If you look at the Opta stats, Chelsea's possession winning line at Anfield 8 metres higher this season and last season. Newcastle and West Ham have both adopted a similar approach as well, pressing Liverpool high up and not allowing Steven Gerrard any time.
Yes, and I think, you know, Palace this week, Neil Warnock's been talking about going back to basics defensively. So, you know, I wouldn't class Warnock as being a tactical genius. I think they'll approach this game by trying to get a draw out of it, Palace. I don't think they'll really go for Liverpool. I think that would actually play into Liverpool's hands if they went and attacked Brendan Rodgers' side. I'm struggling with this one. I don't think Palace are good enough to win. I can't back Liverpool at the odds. The draw, obviously, is probably the most favourable. If forced to have a bet on the outrights or the win market, I'd probably take Palace in the draw because I'm not confident enough to back them at 7-2. But one bet that I've kind of unearthed, which I do really like, is revolving around second half goals. Crystal Palace haven't scored a home goal in the first half yet this season, and of Liverpool's 8 away goals, 6 of them have been in the second half. Given what Warnock said, and if he's true to his word and the players listen to him and they defend stoutly, I can see the second half being the highest scoring. That's 5-4. Over 1.5 goals in the second half, also 5-4. But the better like is both teams to score in the second half. You know, Liverpool's defence obviously is leaky, as is Palace's. Palace can score, they can both score, and that's 11-4 for both teams to score in the second half. So okay. I like that one.
And that double chance market, by the way, Crystal Palace all the draw, just a shade of odds on at 10-11. Let's look at Hull versus Tottenham, which is the Sunday 4 p.m. kickoff. Hull 13-5, the draw 15-8, and Tottenham in the betting at 5-4. Headline offers here: Abel Hernandez to score and Hull to win is in the market at 6-1. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win in the betting at 4-1. Again, Lee, two teams that are struggling somewhat this season. Hull have won just one of their last 10 Premier League matches, and this is Tottenham's worst start to a Premier League season since 2008-2009. And Hull's problems have been in front of goal. Not enough players chipping in. They failed to score in their last three now, and particularly disappointing away at Burnley a couple of weeks ago. And on that performance, Steve Bruce has really got his work cut out with this team.
Yeah, he has, yeah. But, you know, they're one of those teams, I think, who, if you catch them on the right day, you can get something out of them. They've got good attacking players, of course. Jelovic and Hernandez, you mentioned. Diame's been a revelation this season. I've been looking at how teams come back from the international break. You know, a whole struggle to come back from the Europa League and do much in the Premier League. But, you know, when they came back from the last international break, they had that 2-2 draw at Arsenal. So I thought, you know, then they went to Liverpool and drew 0-0 the following week, and it's only really the last two games where they've dropped off. They've just stopped scoring goals. I'm going to trust them to get something out of this game. Again, I'm not overly confident that I can back them to win the match, but you know, Hull plus a goal or Hull on the double chance is probably the way I'd play it. I mean Tottenham. I mean, they're probably better. They're better away from home than they are at home. Because I think they allow teams to come onto them. So, you know, Hull on the draw or play on a goals bet. Over 2.5 goals at 19-20 is decent. You know, you look at Hull's home form. That Southampton game is the only game in the Premier League this season where they haven't scored a goal, and Tottenham have scored in every single one of their away games. So over 2.5 is 19-20. Both teams to score on over 2.5 is 5-4. So I'll take the over 2.5 just in case there's a clean sheet thrown in there. But yeah, I could just see some goals in it, and if forced, Hull in the draw.
Over 2.5 goals in the betting at 19-20. Hull all the draws, pretty short actually, 13-20. Hull all the draw. there's not much stands out in this Tottenham side, Derek. I suppose Nasser Chadli is the only player that's played reasonably well. He's got 6 in 10 this season, only scored once in 24 last season. But this Spurs side, they don't look any good to me.
You're dead right, and they're still being overrated by the bookies. When are they going to wake up and realise what you've just said? This is a very moderate Tottenham side. Opposed Tottenham, it's my one and only betting policy this season, and it's paying off big time, especially against Stoke a couple of weeks ago. I mean, yeah, Hull have had a few bad results recently. The 0-0 Liverpool, that wasn't too bad, but he didn't score, never looked like scoring, followed by two goalless games against their Hull and Southampton. Goalless Hull games, rather. But you look at their squad, and you sense there's more to come. You know, I think they've been playing a bit under par at the moment, Hull. And I think they're all way they're so attractively priced. You can take a chance on coming back to form this weekend. I don't think you can against Tottenham because somehow they don't seem to be playing for the manager. You've got players who a season ago were playing above the ground, and now they're just, you know, they're a shadow of themselves. You're right, David. I can't see anything in this Tottenham side that makes me think they're worth a bet here at Hull. I'm going to go for Hull here. I think there are some big prices on the coupon this weekend, and Hull are one of them.
I think it shows you where Tottenham are as a club, that so much stock is being put in Harry Kane's performances. He's only done it in the Europa League so far. I think it's people maybe overestimating his ability.
I think you're right. I mean, he's one of those. He's English, I suppose, isn't he? So, you know, that's why if he came over and performed like he is doing, and he was from France, he wouldn't be getting the same kind of publicity. I just don't see him as a dangerous player. I think if he comes up against a decent team, he won't get a kick. He's been there a few years now, hasn't he? You know, if he was that good, he'd be a regular starter. But having said that, he's a better bet than Adebayo.
Unbelievable, isn't that? How bad is he?
He's almost stealing a living at the moment.
It's scandalous, really, isn't it? Yeah. I get what you're saying about Harry Kane, but if you're looking at the betting, 8-5 Harry Kane to score, 8-5 Adebayo to score. I mean, he should never be 8-5 to score Adebayo, should he?
No.
Unbelievable. Been a player in his time, but yeah. I mean,
the Chadli price is okay at 11-5.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny when you two are chatting there, you're looking through and you're thinking, yeah, good player. But they're not the good players, aren't they? They're not like, no one's setting the world alight.
No.
You know, Lamella looked like he was going to have a really good season. He's just drifted off.
Well, given the amount of cash they got from the sale of Gareth Bale, they've not invested that wisely at all, have they, really? They've spent all of it, haven't they?
No, mate. Can you look at, you know, Dembele's a really good player. I know Derek's a big fan of Dembele in the past.
Yeah, he's gone.
Paulinho, you know, good player. Lamella, Townsend, Eriksen, Chadli. So, I mean, you know, you'd think if these were on the open market, they'd all get snapped up by someone. It just hasn't worked yet, has it? No. That's the problem for some reason. And they look at quite a lazy team for me. I think Hull will just bully them a little bit.
Yeah,
Hull 13-5 to win the match. Let's move on to Monday night football. This is Aston Villa versus Southampton this Monday night. 4-1 Aston Villa. The draw 11-5 Southampton in the betting at 4-5. Could be tough for Villa this one. They failed to score in 6 of their last 7. They're not going to get many chances against Southampton. It's an unwritten rule that we've got to mention Southampton's defensive record until it stops being the best in the top 4 flights. They won 2-0 again against Leicester, and they've actually allowed the fewest shots on target against them than any other team in the Premier League this season. In addition to that, Derek, Villa have had the fewest shots on target in the Premier League this season, and Southampton have kept 5 clean sheets in their last 8 trips to Villa Park as well. Things stacking up against Aston Villa.
Well, they are, but then you look at the odds.
Yep.
And you see the home team, Aston Villa, 4-1 against Southampton, who, you know, I know if you thought it was a team that's going to finish second, yeah, those odds would be right. But you know, you just know Southampton are going to be edging down. Because when are they going to play someone decent? They meet either teams who have just left the Championship or who are just heading there.
Soon, Derek. Very soon. Absolutely spot on. Interestingly, this time last season, Derek, Southampton were third on 22 points, 3 points off Arsenal, who were leading at the time. By the close of play on New Year's Day, they were 6 points adrift of 8th place Newcastle. They won one in nine, a run of 9 relentless games. Now, you look at the fixtures they've got coming up. They've got 3 massive fixtures before Christmas, 3 after. You know, they played Man City, Arsenal and Man United in quick succession. I know Man United aren't the team of old. And then after Christmas, starting on the 28th of December, they've got Chelsea, Arsenal and Man United. We'll know a lot by, I think it's the 10th of January or 11th of January, we'll know an awful lot about Southampton, and they won't be second still.
Well, that's an absolute certainty. I'm glad you pointed that out because, you know, I just can't believe every week I keep thinking, Southampton, stay still second. Yeah. That can't be.
And it's catching them right though. When's it going to stop?
Well, I'm going to take a chance it's going to stop this weekend. Yeah, I can't bring any logic to it other than the fact that Aston Villa are 4-1.
We don't expect you to, Derek.
No, but I mean, the thing is, right. when do you draw the line and say that Southampton are a bad bet? You know, when Villa are 8-1, 12-1, 16-1, okay, you might come in with all these stats and say Southampton can't lose. They never concede. Villa are crap. Never score. You know, yeah, I understand all that. But sooner or later, Villa will become a price where you think they demand an interest. Yes. And I think 4-1 at home, it's just under 4-1.
4-1.
No, yeah, against a side that will probably finish 8th, Southampton. I'm not going to miss that. I'm sorry. I think Villa, I'm not saying they're a great bet because they're not on form. They're not a great bet. But you know the form at the moment is skew with, because Villa have had some tough fixes as well, by the way. You know, they've had a lot of Man City and Chelsea a couple of weeks ago, Tottenham, all right, maybe not so tough, Tottenham. And then they're unlucky against that. West Ham, an informed West Ham team away from home, drew 0-0. The signs of them coming back together, Villa, and I think Southampton will go the other way. 4-1, big price.
Aston Villa for Derek Lee.
I've spent far too much time looking at this match, as you probably figured out from those Southampton stats. I totally agree with Derek's thoughts on it, and I found it very difficult to justify. So in the end, it ended up, I was thinking, I can't just go in with a gut instinct here. Derek's nicked that line anyway. I had a look. I mean, I remember before the international break, Ronald Koeman said after the Leicester game that his players looked tired. Now, a lot of them have been away on international duty, and he's not had much luck in the injury situation either. You know, he's got, it looks like Tadic will be missing. He's been a major player for them this season.
Yep.
Schneidlin's going to be out as well. So you're looking at Davis Wanyama in midfield, whether he brings anyone else in there. Now, without what Southampton have done this season is that they've allowed the opposition to have lots of possession. When they've got the ball back, which they're very good at pressing, they attack really quick. And they've attacked really quick through the likes of Tadic and Schneidlin. If they're missing, I think their ability to attack is going to be limited. The counter-argument to that, though, is that Villa, you know, even during this run, the two best defenders they've had have been Vlaar and Senderos, which is an amazing thing to say. They're both out as well. They've both been injured on international duty. So Villa are really weakened in defence. They're playing a couple of players who've barely even played this season, Okore and Clark. So, you know, there's no Benteke, of course, for Villa. All this leads me to think, with a bit of fatigue in Southampton's legs, the fact that I think they're going to start to falter slightly, the fact that Villa have got that draw and will be trying to back it up with another point, I like the 0-0 draw. Now, I'm not going to back the 0-0 draw. I'm going to put up under 1.5 goals just in case Southampton sneak one and sit on it because they've got such a great defence. So under 1.5 goals is 9-4. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, not a particularly great game. And I think I wouldn't put anyone off the 11-5, the draw price for Villa to scrape another. I think Villa might draw a few now before they get a win. Because they're not going to go from not winning in 7 to suddenly winning all the time, in my opinion. So, yeah, that's my thought process. I've tried to work out how I think it'll happen. And under 1.5 is the best I could come up with at 9-4.
Under 1.5 goals at 9-4. On to the Saturday matches then. 3 p.m. kickoff, 6 of them in total. And we'll start with Newcastle versus QPR because it's top of the list.
All right, okay.
Newcastle 10-11.
I'm going to start Chelsea.
The draw 21-10 and QPR in the betting at 7-2. Lee, Newcastle won their last 4 Premier League matches now. They've not won 5 on the bounce since April 2012, incidentally. This is a big chance for them to make it 5 straight. QPR, the worst away record in the Premier League. No points, 2 goals scored and 14 conceded in 5 games away from home. Newcastle, odds on in the Premier League, 10-11.
Yeah, can't do that. I mean, you know, made you look a mug again here by saying that can't win another one, surely, and they go and win another one. But no, this run has to end sometime. I've been impressed by QPR since the last international break, actually, when Harry Redknapp said they were going to concentrate on the fitness. They did that, and they closed teams down a lot more. I think this might suit QPR, this one. I don't know if 7-2 is quite big enough to back them up at St James's Park. It fits into Derek's you know, a 3-1 or bigger, yeah. You know, two teams who aren't, you know, as long as you're not playing a top team, it fits into that. I'm not sure. I think I might be a bit of a wimp and just go for QPR and the draw, QPR plus a goal away from home. I mean, Charlie Austin's been in good nick. You know, you look at Newcastle's home form. They've kept clean sheets against Leicester and Liverpool. Before that, they were conceding for fun. So, again, I don't think the clean sheets will last forever either. You know, so Charlie Austin to score isn't a bad price. 5-2 any time for a man who's been in really good nick recently. So, yeah, as far as the outrights go, QPR on the draw. But my favourite bet would be Charlie Austin just to grab a goal at St James's Park in any result.
Yeah, 5-2 Charlie Austin to get a goal. If you're looking at QPR or the draw, shade of odds on at 19-20. Newcastle QPR, Derek.
Well, Lee's right. I mean, you just look at Newcastle odds on and you know that, you know, the value lies elsewhere. And if you want to be safe and a little wimp like Lee, you go for QPR in the draw. You could be intrepid and brave like myself. And go for QPR at 7-2, which is what I'm doing. Because, okay, Newcastle have had this 4 straight wins in the Premier League, but all against teams in the bottom half of the table, Liverpool and Tottenham included. Now, I know QPR are in the bottom half of the table, yes, you know, so, you know, it should be within Newcastle's compass. But I've actually been more impressed when I've seen QPR than I have been when I've seen Newcastle. You know, that result against Liverpool when they lost 3-2. Since then, they've beaten Villa, lost narrowly at Chelsea, drawn against Man City. That's a tough run of fixtures, that. And they've emerged with credit from all of them. I just think any team going to Newcastle and being 7-2 cannot go unbacked. And that's the principal reason. A lot of these matches, I'm guided by odds here. Instinctively, I know that the odds are wrong, and this is one of them. This is writ large here. Odds are wrong.
Yeah, it's a bit. I know not everyone takes notice of team news, but Colaccini's out with a muscle injury. Stephen Taylor's a big doubt for the Magpies. Already missing Obertan and Rolando Ahrens, the youngster who's been getting rave reviews. So you know they're not at full fitness either. This team, CM De Jong still available. So I think at the back they could be open and
Colaccini is a big miss for them.
Yeah,
I think, you know, when you're looking at players who define a team, he's that for Newcastle, Colaccini.
Yeah.
Man City versus Swansea is next. 2-5 Manchester City. The draw 100-30. Swansea in the betting at 8-1. Manuel Pellegrini hanging on by a thread at the moment.
Is he?
He is. Oh, he is. Oh. Winning the derby alleviated a little bit of pressure. But they've subsequently been beaten at home by CSKA Moscow in the Champions League and only drew with QPR. That squad, Derek, not as strong as many believe. How many of that first team would get in Chelsea's starting team, for instance? I'm not sure there'd be that many, Derek.
Well, Aguero is a nap.
Company,
Silva, and you would have said last year Yaya Toure, but not this year. It's amazing, isn't it? We were looking last season at what a great squad they had, but all of a sudden it's looking workmanlike, isn't it?
They wouldn't get in the Chelsea team. Zabaleta's a very good player.
They're not,
of course,
massive upgrades, though, are they? You look at that Chelsea team. You're picking players and you're thinking if you stuck them in that Chelsea team, they're a big upgrade.
No, Chelsea are a country mile ahead of everyone, I think, at the minute. He's assembling a team that may be better than the original Chelsea team that he assembled, but I think there's still some quality in there. You know, they're going through a bad patch, but I still think David Silva's a fantastic player, you know, and others.
Derek, Lee guffawed a little bit when I said that Pellegrini was hanging on by a thread, but how many chances is this guy going to get?
Well, I'm amazed he's still there.
6-1 if you want to back into his next match.
I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago.
8-1, wasn't it, a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah,
when we talked.
I named about four managers who were great bets. This is a team, you know, of Cosquillions, you know, supposedly packed with superstars, and the only team they've beaten in the last few weeks were a 10-man Man United team who everybody's beaten. You know, and in that run, they haven't met great teams. They've met CSKA Moscow twice, QPR, Newcastle, and West Ham. You know, and they're not beating these teams. I'm looking at this fixture, you know, and I'm thinking a City side that's got no confidence, that's getting, you know, a few catcalls from the fans. If they don't get the ball off Swansea for the first 20 minutes, which is a possibility given the way Swansea play, you can imagine the nerves going through. It's just to come after an international break as well, before Champions League matches next week. I mean, if you're going to play Man City away, this is a fantastic time to play them. And I'm actually thinking, you know, Swansea 8-1. I'm tempted. But because I've gone for so many other big prices on the coupon, they're not all going to cop. So I'm wimping out. I'm doing a lay here.
God, you're such a lily-livered so-and-so, yeah.
I might. You were intrepid for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know, I know. I'm going to go for Swansea plus a goal, 19-10. That's my bet.
Swansea plus a goal for Derek. Mm. Man City do look short at 2-5. They might win this game, but 2-5. Oh,
it's a wretched price, isn't it? It really is. You know, Swansea, their away form isn't particularly clever. They drew at Sunderland, drew at Everton 0-0. They did win that game at Man United, of course, early in the season, but that's the only way.
They have a much better home team than an away team, Swansea.
Yeah. It's a tough one. The shining light in the Manchester City team, of course, is Sergio Aguero, who has been away and played for Argentina. Didn't score in either of their games. You could argue that he may be a little jaded. It's a hard one, isn't it? Because you just can't back City at on the prices at 2-5. It's virtually impossible. Aguero's odds on at 7-10 to score any time. If forced to have a bet, I think City will win, and I think Aguero will score, so I'd go City to win and Aguero to score, but the price is horrible at 5-4. But it's the best I can come up with.
How good did that Montero look against Arsenal the other week?
Yes. Yeah.
Sensational player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be interesting to see how he gets on against there. Probably Zabaleta, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. If Swansea have got brave enough, then, you know, to go and have a go at City, then it should be good. But I find a lot of these tough this week where I don't quite like the team who are the bigger price, but can't back the home team because the price is 2-5 for this City team.
That's no one's going to back down.
No,
I know, Derek. We're only halfway through the podcast as well. It looks like there could be a decent multiple on the outsiders this week, perhaps.
Well, you know what? You're right there. I'm actually thinking of having that. And you know what will happen? All the jollies will win. But
if you're having the acca, that you should do the wimpy one, shouldn't you?
No.
You should have the plus one.
Well, I might do. I'll write out large. You know. The intrepid Akin, but then I'll just put a little saver on when no one's watching.
Yeah, obviously you mentioned City have got the match in midweek against Bayern Munich. They have to be looking at that, don't they? They have to be more focused on that, even if the players and the coaching staff say they're not. They will be, because they've actually got a chance of winning that game with Bayern Munich's injuries. You know, 8 first teamers missing for Bayern Munich, and they've qualified the top of the group. There's no need for them to send a strong team to City. So surely all the players will be, you know, they'll have two eyes on that Bayern Munich game.
Yeah.
Leicester-Sunderland is next. Leicester 23-20. The draw 19-10. Sunderland in the betting at 3-1. Lee, I'm still waiting for Leicester to come good.
Do a bit better against them. I got that game right, remember?
Mentioned this about a month ago.
No. I said last time in the game against Southampton that it would be draw, half-time, full-time Southampton, I think you'll find.
Yeah.
So I'm not like, it's not like I'm pouring all my money into Leicester City.
Nigel Pearson was definitely going to get things right, and it was coming off the last international break, the one before.
Yeah, that's true.
And they've not scored in 4 games now, 4 straight defeats for Leicester City. They've only picked up 1 point since that home win against Manchester United, ensconced in the bottom 3 now, and it's the feel of a must-win game for Leicester, this one.
Yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? When I like the way they start the season, obviously, and called a few games right, and then you don't want to desert them, do you? But there's not a lot. You don't see an awful lot. But then this Sunderland team can be pretty ropey, can't they? I'm going to play the draw. I just don't think either team are necessarily good enough. I think Leicester will set up defensively and strong and look to try and contain the game and maybe hit Sunderland. Where are the goals going to come from, though? Because, you know, since Ajoa stopped scoring, you know, they just seem bereft of goals. What I would say is that, you know, they haven't played a home game for a while. They had that home game against West Brom back on the 1st of November when they lost to the Cambiasso own goal. It's the first home game since then, so it's been a long time that they've played in front of their home fans. You know, and the home form isn't anywhere near as bad as people are making out. 2-2 draw with Everton, 1-1 draw with Arsenal, beat Man U 5-3. The 2-2 draw with Burnley, where stupidly they conceded a last-minute goal to Burnley. If things had been slightly different, that would be 2 wins and 2 draws with having played 3 of, you know, last season's top 8 teams. So I think, you know, I don't think they're as bad as people make out, but I'm struggling to make an argument for them at 23-20. So an improved performance from Leicester. Sunderland just keep trundling along, 19-10 the draw.
It's a pretty short price on the draw there, Derek. You don't often see under 2-1 the draw.
Incredibly short, isn't it? I'm surprised at that. I think Sunderland, on a weekend of fantastic bets, Sunderland are the five-star bet. I think they're a fantastic price. You know, since that 8-0 thrashing from Southampton, you know, which was a joke of a performance, they've met Arsenal, lost 2-0, no disgrace there. Beat Palace, drawn with Everton. And Leicester can't score, don't look like scoring. And I'm just looking at the squad player for player. Okay, Sunderland's not full of all-stars, I know, but there are players there who've been in, you know, I've done it, albeit at other clubs in the Premier League. I mean, there's nothing in this Leicester squad that makes me think they're going to climb from where they are now, which is like in the relegation zone. I just don't see anything, I can't see anything in there. I think Sunderland are absolute certainties here. 3-1, it's just a world-class bet.
I agree. Sunderland 3-1 to win away at Leicester City. Chelsea West Brom is next. Chelsea 1-4 to win this game. The draw 4-1. West Brom in the betting at 14-1. Derek, the Premier League trophy already in sight for Chelsea. The mark of a championship winning side often defined by the amount of points you can gain from losing positions, and Chelsea doing that better than anyone else. They've recovered 9 points from losing positions in the Premier League this season, unbeaten in 14 now, winning 11 and drawing 3. There are a few holes in this Chelsea side.
You're right, but remember last season when West Brom were robbed of victory with that that last minute penalty, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I picked a lot of big price teams this weekend. I ain't going to be picking West Brom here. They're capable, you know, but I don't think they're going to capable of going about beating Chelsea at Stamford Bridge 1-4. I mean, you know, it's only for the big hitters, but the big hitters will make a few bob because Chelsea will win. The only, if you're looking to back West Brom, two things in your favour, I suppose, would be a Champions League engagement next week for Chelsea and the fact that a load of their big players are coming back from an international break. So if you are going to meet Chelsea away, this is the weekend to do it. But it ain't enough in West Brom's. You know, they need more ammunition than that. It's just, you know, people aren't going to be back in 1-4 pokes. So I might go with Ron's old favourite, Ron Atkinson's old favourite, a Chelsea 2-0 win at 11-2. Can't see any. But one thing I'll say about Chelsea, yeah, they don't look to have a weakness. And the best, but I mentioned this to Lee, the most underrated player in Premier League football is Ivanovic, their right back. I just think he's absolutely unbelievable. That guy never gets a good press, but he never makes a mistake in my eyes. But one thing I will say, the praise has been heaped on the striker Diego Costa this season, I think, has been way over the top. I'm waiting to see this guy come back to the field a little bit. I might well be wrong because he's done it in Spain and so on, but I don't think he's the player that everybody's making out at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on in the next few weeks.
Okay, he's 6-10 to score any time on Saturday afternoon, Diego Costa. West Brom, Lee, need to bounce back after that 2-0 loss at home.
I'm laughing because it reminds me a bit of the Torres thing. Derek always said, even when Torres was scoring like goals all the time, he said he wasn't. He'd never been a footballer.
Okay.
And eventually, it came right when his knees were shot to bits.
No,
I'm waiting. Costa will pick up. He'll break his leg and go right. Told you, he ain't scored for a month. This lad. If he's that good, he can score on crutches. I'm only messing. You're right about Torres in the end, but I'm not having that about Costa. Surely he's better than that. And anyway, at least he gives you good value for puns around coffee.
Yeah. No, I mean he's done nothing wrong, has he? But I watch his game, and I'm not sure he's you know this world beater everybody.
He's too old to be playing football anyway, isn't he?
He does look old, is he? Doesn't he?
Desperate Dan.
He holds the ball.
Dan.
He does hold the ball up well, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, that's what everyone wants in a striker. What are we talking about? Chelsea.
We're talking about Chelsea.
Yeah, I don't have to spend too long on this, do we? Yeah. I agree with what Derek said. I think I'll go a little bit further than Derek, though, and I think they might score a few. Fabregas missing, Schürrle missing, but they'll just bring in Ramirez and probably Willian if they're looking to go attacking, and there's no reason not to. The home performance is 2-1 against QPR, which I think owed a lot more to QPR being good than it did than Chelsea being bad. They beat Maribor 6-0, 2-0 Arsenal, 3-0 Villa, 2-1 against Bolton in the Cup, of course, and so on and so forth. Well capable of scoring goals. West Brom only averaged 3 shots on target per game away from home. So even if they were to score, you know, 1 in 3, I still think Chelsea will outscore them by at least a couple. So I'm going to go Chelsea -2 on this one. I think they'll just ease to I can see the 2-0, obviously, but I think they might score more than that. So Chelsea minus 2 at 17-10, a good afternoon. I think Chelsea, you know, they've been a little bit laboured, haven't they, you know, against some of the teams. They beat Shrewsbury 2-1, of course. They beat QPR 2-1. Maribor was 1-1 away. It was 2-1 against Liverpool, so they've not pulverised anyone. I think Mourinho might want to just get them to put the hammer down a little bit on this one.
Disappointing only to win by the odd goal away at Anfield, wasn't it, as well? for that Chelsea side. You talked about Ivanovic.
Not if you had it as a nap.
flying under the radar as well, Derek. Nemanja Matic, I think he's the... I think Arsenal would kill for a player like Nemanja Matic in the side.
Well, yeah, that's what they need. But I never get worked up about holding midfield players. No. It's just the easiest job on the pitch. I could do it in my sleep. So.
Stoke Burnley coming up next. Stoke 8-11. The draw 21-10. Burnley in the betting at 5-1. The less said about Burnley, Lee, the better.
Really?
Scuppered the treble. With their first win of the season a couple of weeks ago.
Do you remember the last podcast we did, Derek? I said I can't see them winning a game all season. You know, as soon as you say that, I thought I should back them, actually. I should back them on the strength of that.
That was mentioned, actually. I got a text about that particular,
from your mate.
That particular comment.
One of Dave's mates, Dale, he's got it in for me. Everything I say, basically, he picks up on. He never criticises when I get something right, but luckily, not many times when I did get it right. So.
He's not managed to compliment you yet this season.
I think he did once.
Stoke, as Derek will be well aware, went to White Hart Lane and picked up 3 points in their last outing. Lee, what do you make of this one?
Good question. I mean, Stoke have been, you know, it's a very strange Stoke team this year where they seem to be doing much better on the road than they do at home, performance wise anyway, because they have lost a couple of games. They lost to Sunderland, lost to Southampton, then went to Tottenham and won. I think they're better suited when teams obviously come onto them as Tottenham did. But at home against Burnley, I know Burnley got that win against Hull, but I don't think they back it up with another win. They've conceded 4 at West Brom, 2 at Leicester, 3 at Arsenal. I'm with Stoke here. Now 8-11's short enough, isn't it? I maybe give Burnley a squeak at maybe carrying on the scoring, the little bit of confidence they've picked up. I could probably just give them a goal in this one. I'm not sure Stoke will win to nil. I mean, they've been leaking goals at home. The clean sheet against Newcastle at the Britannia is the only one in the Premier League this season. Of course, they conceded to West Ham, to Southampton, to Swansea, and to Leicester when they lost. So Stoke to win and both teams to score for me. Could be. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a 2-1 or a 3-1. To be honest, but
really,
yeah, I think Stoke will beat them. I think Stoke will bully them. I think they'll see this as an opportunity to really have a go at Burnley, because Burnley haven't got a lot away from home. I don't think they quite know how to deal with teams away from home. They're not good enough to play on the break. Not quick enough to play on the break for me. So Stoke to win, both teams to score.
That's 3-1. Yeah.
Which compared to 8-11 seems a nice price.
Yeah, I know what you mean there. Yeah,
I just thought of this one, Derek. Instinctively, I thought low on the goals, but maybe. Lee's making a point there to go maybe over on the 2.5.
No, I agree with you. I think low on a goal as a definite. I mean, Burnley scored 2 goals away from home so far this season. You know, and I can't see them getting the ball off Stoke much. You know, to have a go. This is, you know, my MO demands a bet on Burnley, but I just can't have them even at 5-1. I think Stoke will have too much for them in every department. Backing Stoke at odds on, it gives me the willies. It really does, but. This is a different Stoke nowadays, and that Tottenham win the other week when they played Tottenham off the park, really. I think it's the only odds-on poke I'm going, apart from Chelsea this weekend, Stoke, and I think they'll win well. But if you're not an odds-on punter in football in games like this, Burnley not to score 6-5, that looks a big bet, that, to me. I just can't see them scoring against Stoke.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Fewest shots on target, barring Aston Villa all season in the Premier League this season, Burnley. So them not to score is in the betting at 6-5.
Although they, you're right about that, but they do have a bit of a go away from home. They're I think the seventh from bottom in the table. You know, 10 shots a game on goal away from home, Burnley. So a bit better away than they are at home.
Okay, we finish off with Everton versus West Ham at Goodison, Saturday 3 p.m. Everton 10-11, the draw 2-1, West Ham 19-5. Headline offers here, Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win is 3-1. The other one, Diafra Sakho, who is doubtful for the match on Saturday, him to score and West Ham to win is in the betting at 7-1. Derek, the international break affects all these managers, but Sam Allardyce could feel particularly aggrieved because both Sacco, as mentioned, and Stuart Downing have picked up injuries and they are doubtful this weekend. It could be huge for West Ham, that, because those two, possibly the two most influential players for the Hammers this season.
Yeah, well, Sacco, definitely. I still can't believe Downing's resurgence, but yeah, they've been great. But they're only doubtful, and it's amazing how many doubtful players suddenly make the kickoff. So, it's hard to be too dogmatic about this game, because I'll have to see the team sheet. But I would say that West Ham are almost 4-1 looks a trifle big to me. You know, I don't think there's that much to choose between these two sides. This is a different West Ham from last season, a West Ham side I'm prepared to back. And Everton, I'm not sure they've hit the heights yet. It's a tough one to call this. I just, like many games on the Cooper this week, I instinctively think the home team are too short. If West Ham are at full strength, I'll be backing them.
Mm. Yeah, I think team news is, as you've mentioned, vital in this game, Derek. Difficultly to know what to make of Everton at the moment, really. Very strong performance in the Europa League against Lille when they won 3-0, but that's been bookended by draws against Swansea and Sunderland. The thing they've got going for them this week is that they've got a great record against West Ham. Unbeaten in 12 Premier League matches against West Ham, and they've won 8 of those as well. West Ham, I suppose, if Sacco is out, they'll bring Andy Carroll in, and they've looked good aerially this year, West Ham.
Yeah, it's another trip. I mean, like Derek said, it's full of tricky fixtures, this coupon this week. I like goals in this fixture, whatever happens. You know, I'm not quite sure what will happen, and as Derek said, you know, team news, everything. You know, Everton, you know, 7 players being assessed, and you know, we're talking Leighton Baines, Seamus Coleman, Gareth Barry, of course, Pienaar, Morales, some quality players who are undergoing fitness tests. And you know, West Ham, you know, they had the second most shots away from goal, away from home in the Premier League, just behind Man City. 16 shots a game on average away from home, 5 of them on target. And we know that the strikers are good enough to score there. You know, they scored 2 at Stoke, 3 at Burnley, 1 at Man United. Could have had more. 2 at Hull, 3 at Crystal Palace. So they've been in great scoring form. Everton drew a blank against Swansea, which was when I went for over. I think that was over 2.5, maybe even over 3.5 actually. But 3 against Villa, 2 against Palace, 3 against Chelsea, 2 against Arsenal. So you know where I'm going here. It's goals. The traders are kind of onto it. 4-6. For over 2.5 goals, which I'm not too keen on. So I'll go for the draw and over 2.5. Struggling a bit with it because I'm not quite sure, again with the team news, but draw and over 2.5. Drawing both teams to score at 16-5. Okay. I see both grabbing a goal here and cancelling each other out a little bit. So drawing both teams to score is a bigger price. So I'll go on that. 16
That's happened
to 5.
Twice in the last 4 meetings at Goodison. That two draws in there. Yep.
Everton 10-11. The draw 2-1. West Ham 19-5. I suppose we better do the naps now.
Now what do we do with it? Now Derek's back. Do we give him the guest slot, or do we start it from now, or do we just do it from
Don't start it from a couple of weeks ago, like when I had a 9-2 poll.
No, that's what I mean. That's what I meant. I meant start it from that. But I mean, I've had so many winners.
People are suggesting that the best way to approach this podcast, if you want to make cash, is opposing my nap every week and just going bang against the opposite.
That's interesting. It's a pretty good tactic, to be fair.
Shall I kick us off this week?
Go ahead, Dan.
Why not, yeah?
Crystal Palace is going to be my nap selection.
What, to win at home to Liverpool?
7-2. Yeah, to win at home to Liverpool. I just don't see... I think this Liverpool side going backwards at the moment a little bit and without Sturridge in the side. I think Crystal Palace, it'd be a good atmosphere, won't it, at Selhurst Park, Sunday 1:30 PM kickoff.
Did
I like
you
that.
Pick that because yesterday
live
I said
televised.
To you that my nap might be most goals in the second half thing. Did you pick that on purpose?
Yeah. Oh, so you can't have a bet in that match?
No, I can't. No, I did tell you that yesterday.
That's even better for me. That's just an added bonus.
I find another one, isn't
so it? Palace at 7-2 for me.
It's win-win for you. Unlike your selections.
What's your nap, Derek?
Man, Sunderland 3-1 to win at Leicester.
Okay, Sunderland 3-1. To win away. We're getting into the realms of the incredible here from an odds perspective again. Lee?
Leo bring it down. Mr. Wimpy.
Yeah. This will be a 1-2 shot.
I might just go, yeah, that's probably the safest way of doing it, isn't it? Look, I'm gonna trust Alexis Sanchez to score, and I'm gonna go pretty brave here. 5-4 any time. I'm gonna go for him to grab the first goal in this match. I don't think there'll be many, but I think he'll score. So first goal, Alexis Sanchez at 9-2.
It's a 98-1 treble here. Crystal Palace 7-2, Sunderland 3-1. Alexis Sanchez to score first at the Emirates on Saturday evening, 9-2, 98-1 treble.
I usually say it's worth a quid, but I'm not sure.
I'm not sure this week. Yeah, that 25-1 shot a couple of weeks ago, which was scuppered by Burnley, believe it or not, was worth a few quid. This one looks a little bit more outlandish.
No, I like it. I like it. I think it's got a great chance. 100-1 for something I could easily cop. That yeah. I'll be having a tenner on that one, definitely.
I like your optimism, Derek. That's why you were brought back in.
Give me a couple of weeks.
Derek's glass is definitely half full.
The intrepid Derek McGovern on the line this week. Thank you for your company, Derek.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Thank you.
And thanks to all the listeners for tuning in and downloading. And we'll be back with more punt action on the Midweek Punt Podcast on Monday. Thanks again for listening, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.